Is this morning we're going to resume our study in Matthew. Thank you for Josh for filling for me for last week. I hope that the weather was pleasant enough. I know it was expected to be super hot, and I think calling in a little bit early, not having Sunday school block is probably a good move and stuff. So, but anyways, so this morning we're going to resume our study in Matthew chapter 11. But kind of prime the pump on what we're going to be talking about this morning. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians first. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 23. So as we look in Matthew chapter 11, what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians is going to help us see, get some clarity what's going on right now in Matthew 11. And so we'll go ahead and read 1 Corinthians real quick. Talk about that and we'll have a word of prayer. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23 says this. It says, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." So here Paul is saying that they were preaching Christ, right? And then who is Christ? Jesus Christ. Right? He's the same, right? He came, he died, and he rose again, right? So Jesus is the Christ. Now, when you read the word Christ in the Bible, that's not Jesus' last name, right? It's a title, right? Alexander the Great. The Great wasn't his last name, right? It was a title given to him. When we read Jesus Christ, when we read the word Christ, this is the word that would be Messiah. So what's Messiah mean? A deliverer, right? Were there a lot of deliverers in the Bible? Wasn't Moses a deliverer? The nation of Israel out of Egypt, right? Yeah. But Jesus just wasn't a deliverer, right? He was the deliverer. Everyone else was almost like a foreshadowing of what Jesus would do. So when Paul says we preach Jesus, or we preach Christ crucified, we think of the one that's going to deliver us, the one that's going to save us. Guess what happened to him? He was crucified. Superman. The reason why Superman is because he can free people, right? And the attempt of Superman trying to free somebody and he dies, that person still needs to be free or delivered. Yes. And so this concept of the one that's going to deliver us died, for some, it causes challenge. Here, Paul addresses two different groups of people, Jews and Greeks. And so as Paul is saying, we're preaching out Jesus, the Messiah, was crucified. To the Jews, what did that message do for the Jews? What does it say there? It was a stumbling block. Did the Jews know that God would send a Messiah or the Messiah? There was no question. But the problem was, most of the Jews, they thought that this Messiah would come, kick out the Romans, fix Israel, and so that the kingdom would be restored and fixed. Did that occur through Jesus? If that was the kingdom you're looking for, you are going to be gravely disappointed. In fact, if you read in Acts chapter 1, his disciples, right, just before Jesus sent back to heaven, he said, so are you going to restore the kingdom now? They're like, there might be any. Jesus came to us as heard of the kingdom. John came up to the kingdom of heaven at the end. They were looking for a president from the 15th century or back then, the king. That would remove the Romans. That didn't happen in the kingdom of God. Guess what? Did that cause a stumbling block? Why? Because the expectations. The expectation of what you're supposed to do. It's like, he didn't meet them. So you have issues, right? In marriage? Have you ever had any issues in marriage? No. Right? Marriage is perfect. Is marriage good? Yes. See, one of the challenges with relationships, whether you're married or not, whether it's at work, your roommates, your parents, all of it, a lot of the challenges come from expectations. What do you expect? We all have our brains filled with expectations that we expect people to do. And based upon that, we're either really happy or we're really disappointed. Do their expectation was? That's it. Jesus did not meet that. He died. How did he die to do it? He didn't do anything. That's not true, though, for the Jews. Kept tripping over the fact that if he was supposed to deliver us, could he save himself? He did right to him, right? But in their thought process, their theology, they had some. Fully embrace it.
Some did, many did, not all. But then he says the Greeks. The Greeks say it's just foolish. Well, the Jews had some theology to back up their viewpoint of what the Messiah would do. The Gentiles, they're thinking, that was dumb. Here, if a firefighter's gonna go rescue somebody out of a burning building, and that firefighter dies. Can he help the people in the building? No. It's stupid, right? That's almost how the Greeks were thinking. But the reality is there more to life than what we can see? Is there more to life than what we can touch and taste? For people to deny a spiritual realm, I think there's a lot of dishonesty going on. And when you begin to realize that there are things that we cannot explain, like maybe demons, right? Talk about the spirit, you know how it kind of blows, right? There are things in this life that we cannot fully explain. People who deny realm, missing out on the whole body. That's what you need to do. And understand serving Christ with nothing. You want to experience joy, guess what? Look for the best place to follow the Lord. When it comes to Jesus, crucified. No. He's supposed to restore the kingdom. So, the Greek just thought of going to see what that super kingdom. Here, the major message, perfectly imperfect. The reason I wanted to go and bring this up, as we look in Matthew chapter 11, dealing with people who are struggling. What's going on? We already looked at Matthew 11, 1 through 6, and this is where we find John the Baptist in prison. He said to disciples, say, hey, tell them to ask Jesus if he is the one, or do we look for another one? See, John was questioning. Maybe he was wrong, because the deliverer was supposed to deliver us. But guess where John's at? He's in prison. Wait a second now. This was not what I was expecting. I'm expecting the Messiah to come and deliver us. And right now, I'm in need of being delivered. We know what's going to happen to John the Baptist. He's going to be executed, beheaded, at the service of the Lord. He was
experiencing some major difficulties with expectations. That's why the Jews, Paul described here in 1 Corinthians. They were stumbling blocks. They didn't fit the role the way they had in their head. Everybody had a pair of gloves, shoes, shirt, jacket, whatever. The inner guide arms. Well, you're in a hurry. Oh, the size should be just right, you know. But we go and put them on. It's like, you know what? My expectation, it just didn't fit. Everything seemed funny. Got the right size. Just is it a medium in every single thing?
No. So go ahead and turn back to Matthew 11. Now we're going to be looking at verses 7. We're going to start in verse 7. And so we're looking at expectations.
Read verse 6. A couple of sentences, but this is where we end. Verse 6. Really good for me. I see looking for this. Studying verse 6. Jesus says in 11 verse 6, blessed are those who are not offended, who are never saying, find them. Jesus is saying, those who are not offended by Christ, they are blessed. In other words, when your expectations are not in them, if you're not offended, God allowing you to do whatever he wants you to do. Those that have a hard time accepting whatever God has allowed to do, them bless. Struggle, anger, frustration, disappointment, all kinds of fear. Why? Why is it those who aren't offended by God? Because we know that is God. That things don't always work out the way they can. They allow God plenty of room to do without them. They have the cart in the right position, right? Horse, the cart. Sometimes in our expectations, we think it's logical to put the cart for them, the cart first. All of a sudden, when life happens, it doesn't work out very well. It's like, oh, now you're mad at God. Matthew chapter 11, really identifying and addressing expectations that are not. We're going to see 30%. There are some there that are basically mocking John for his fractured faith. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time together. Pray that we be with us as we gather here, Lord. Help us to be able to focus on your word, Lord. Just help us to clear our mind and help us to kind of settle in on your word and make it so that your spirit can speak to us and will work in our lives, Father. Just thank you for your word. May your word help us, Lord, and help us understand and grow in you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 7. Now it says, and as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John. So who is they? They are the two disciples of John. They came to Jesus. Jesus took care of, you know, and kind of answered their question, and they went off on their merry way. So the multitude is gathered around, are beginning to talk about John. And so Jesus begins to say this. What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? So we don't know exactly what the multitudes were saying, but as we begin to hear what Jesus is saying to them, guess what? We can connect the dots, right? They were thinking less of John for the questions that they had than he. But Jesus said, wait a second, guys. When John the Baptist came on the scene, you know what happened in Israel? What happened? At one point, it was heard that
Israel went out to John the Baptist to be baptized. So John the Baptist, this was like a headline. He was, you know, headline news where everybody wanted to see, to hear, primarily be baptized by John. So John was at a low point in his life because the expectations he had were not being met. What do you go out there to see? If all of Israel are out to see him, why do you go out there? Because some reed was going to him. You know, if you inquire a reed going to him.
Sometimes there's some weird noises. Kind of catches your attention. You go out and check it out, figure out, and then you move on. Jesus goes on and says, but what went he out there out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Did John wear nice clothes? Was John did he meet the expectations of all the Pharisees and Sadducees as far as attire? What did John wear? Do we know? Camel's hair. Like somebody coming in today, like with the deer hide clothes on. Would you look at them a little strangely? It's like, what's going on here, you know? He says, did you go out there to see a guy dressed in nice clothes? It's like, wow. He says, behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. Verse 9, but what went ye out for to see? A prophet? He says, yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. See, here John is, it's pretty cool. John was at a low point in his life. He had some serious questions. Serious concerns. And so he goes to seek Jesus for answers. You're at a low point in your life. Go seek for answers. That's it. Here, Jesus is basically elevating John in the eyes of people. Don't people forget? They're saying in retail, you're only as good as your last numbers. Well, it's that projection, right? And if you don't meet the projections this year, oh, you're horrible. Even though for the past 15 years, you beat the expectations. All that's old news, right? It's all about the courage. Amazing how much people quickly forget. Seems like we forget very often. Here they have forgotten. What was the draw to John the Baptist? It was clear. It was not a problem. For a long time. And everyone was like, whoa! Here, God's talking again. God is doing something again. There was great excitement. We all went out there. They forgot all of that. How did he grip it? How did they up? He should have said that. He should have done that. Look where it got him. You fool. Here's Jesus. Elevating. He said, you went out there. And you all knew it. He said, he was just a prophet. He was more than just another prophet, right? What else was he? He was a prophet, but as we'll read here next, this verse 10. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Jesus directly connects
John the Baptist to what the last prophet wrote in the Old Testament, Malachi. We're going to get to it on Wednesday night. Right now we're in the middle of Nahum. And we just started and finished chapter 1, we started chapter 2, and next or this Wednesday. But Jesus is directly quoting from Malachi that there's going to come one like Elijah. is going to prepare the way for the king. And guess what? Jesus himself. That is exactly who John was. As there are those that were dismissing, valuing John, guess what Jesus did? He raised him up. There's an important principle. If humble ourselves before the Lord, what will we do? Humble yourself before the Lord, you will live in life. Here, John was humbling himself before the Lord. He did what God told him to do. It resulted in him going to prison, questioning everything. Now we see Jesus. Too often we care what other people think. Not enough, that was not. The more we can get clued into what God wants us to do and to care about what he thinks, better. Verse 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Here Jesus is saying, can you imagine this saying, Jesus ain't done about you? Man. Jesus is about John. Those born of women. Born of women. All of them, right? All of mankind, right? There is not risen a greater than John the Baptist. You think God highly esteems John? Oh, man. That's part of his 18. And here Jesus is saying this to people who are dismissing and devaluing John. Then he says this, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So what is he saying here? There is no one greater than John except one. He that is least in the kingdom of heaven. You know, it's interesting that word least could also be meaning later. Who was born after John the Baptist? Jesus. So the only person greater than John the Baptist, right, is he that is least or the later in the kingdom of heaven. John came preaching what? Repent from the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here, right? Then Jesus was baptized. What did Jesus preach? Repent and give him the hand, right? After John. And then we just read in Matthew 10, guess what? Jesus sent out his 12 disciples to what? Preach, repent, and give him the hand, right? Same message. So, what exactly does this mean? I think it's a couple of things. One, I think this is referring to probably Jesus. For a couple of things. One, who has humbled himself the greatest in all over the world? What did Jesus leave behind? You left behind a lot, right? Have you ever read the story of the Prince and the Pauper? Or have you ever seen the Prince and the Pauper, right? Prince and the Pauper, right? Almost like a movie. Himself. But Adam got rid of all the nice things. Came to people that didn't recognize the form. People questioned him, accused him of all kinds of things. I don't think there's anybody that has or will ever experience the kind of humbling.
Basically, the book of Jesus as our example. God was humble before God. primary business. Now, it also means anybody that makes themselves. Jesus is going to say many times, he who is first is what? Last. And he who is last?
First.
What does Jesus want us to be? Servants. He wants us to be servants. Right? Jesus says, hey, I didn't come to be served, right? Jesus didn't come to go on vacation, right? So that way they could, you know, clean my room, make my bed, you know, bring me my food, you know, entertain me. All the stuff that we expect when we're on vacation, right? Jesus wasn't on vacation here. He came to work. He came to serve. This spiritual kingdom that came to establish, there are truths that enhance the world that we live in. And you want those truths that enhance the world that we live in? You can't understand that the church has servants. There is joy in serving. You don't have to be changed. Now, higher experience. All about me. No, why don't you shake your head? All about me. All about me. This is where the common narrative is. It's all about you. What do you think? What do you feel? What do you want? You can be anything you want to be. You. You're not happy, that's what you do. You do whatever it takes to, so that you can be happy. And we teach that to kids. We say to little kids, you know, I'm talking about the little guys, the ones that are like barely walking. We praise them for throwing a temper tantrum for not getting what they want. Say, good job! You know, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be the squeaky wheel until mom and dad say yes. Is that what we teach our kids? What does society teach us adults? There's a time to stand, there's a time to refrain from standing. I'm talking about that. I'm talking about the overall perspective that is Christian. That is a church service. And here Jesus is saying,
out of all those born of women, there's not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. It's all singular. Who's greater than John? The one person, and that's Jesus Christ. Did Jesus say that directly? He's like speaking in riddles. Why? Those who want to hear, guess what? They'll hear. Those that want to see, guess what? They're going to see. That's what you read, right? If you those who knock, guess what's going to happen?
It'll open up to you. If you don't knock, is anybody going to open the door? If you go to somebody's house, just stand there waiting for them to open the door. If they open the door, maybe you're going to be a little freaked out and kind of weirded out right there on the front door not knocking. That's weird. Yeah, I think someone expects God to. You're in, God. We just expect to sit there. But no. It requires something of us. Part of the staff.
Verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. What's he talking about here?
There is a theme throughout Matthew about judgment, about division. One thing Jesus says, all those who desire to live godly, guess what's going to happen? They're going to suffer. They're going to hear Jesus speak. They're going to like Peter. embraced some groups of people, right? You got some power. Did Jesus ever take them off?
Later on, he would be beheaded, as we said earlier. So this idea that from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers. Jesus came preaching about the kingdom of heaven, about establishing the spiritual kingdom where God is king in our hearts. But you know what? There's other people who want to be king of your hearts, right? Think the governments back then wanted to be king? Think Rome wanted to be king over all the world? The Mongolians, you know, Attila the Hun? They wanted to be king. They wanted to be in control so that everybody would fear them or fear him. They would do whatever he wanted.
There are powers that want you to live here. Even people are like that. Can't people be like that? Well, yes, they can. They're all in your grills and you're freaked out, so you do whatever they want. This kingdom, the brain of this kingdom. There is others. We're trying to do the same thing for their own purposes. They pay taxes, Pharisees, Romans, families. God was buying in the hearts of people who have been served. It was stuck in my life. People weren't happy about it.
And they just weren't dissatisfied, right? As we're going to see with John the Baptist, there he was going to be beheaded. When you kill somebody because they told you not to do something and they're right, is that justified? No. Hasn't that happened? Isn't some journalist been executed? In some of these other countries around the world, they were bringing the news out of what the local governments were doing, and people didn't like it. So they were imprisoned and sometimes executed. What's going on with John the Baptist here? So Jesus is saying, in the days of John the Baptist, he's setting a time frame, until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. There are people that are wanting to control it. And when Jesus is not king in your life, is your life good?
God, you know, is first in my life. That's what my life is about. When I mess up, you know what I'm supposed to do? But when I'm not, you know, I begin to argue, right?
I begin to get mad. Begin to get all puffed up, say, well, you're wrong. How many times have we had conversations with God trying to make ourselves right? That's bogus, isn't it? It's foolishness. He says, and the violent take it by force. Do you think those that are going to try to defeat Jesus, do you think they're going to be successful? Why do you think they're going to kill Jesus? Because the things that he was teaching was messing up everything. And so they were going to silence him out, censor him, so that he can speak no more. They take it by force. But did it work? No. So verse 12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. But violence take it by force. Verse 13, for all the prophets of the law prophesied until John, and if ye will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Next, we'll begin in verse 16. So far in John chapter or Matthew chapter 11,
see John the Baptist in prison, healing the reality of the kingdom of God, and the expectation. Now we see Jesus talking to multitudes. Their expectations. Jesus is greater than John the Baptist. Look what's going to happen to him. If you want to follow and serve the Lord, do you expect easy street? Do you think all your wildest dreams are going to, poof, like Aladdin, right? You rub that lamp, out comes genie. And I love Robin Williams for you. But sometimes that's our expectation. Going to Sunday school, pray, Lord, that you would bless that time, save all